Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. The partial collapse of a 150-year-old building downtown has reminded us once again that there are infrastructure issues that need attention above and below the ground. We'll look into that a little bit later. But first, 80% of Missouri's energy is generated by coal. Therefore, energy providers are paying close attention to the Environmental Protection Agency's Clean Power Plan, which mandates a sharp reduction in coal plant emissions over the next 15 years. Good news to environmentalists lobbying for greater reliance on renewable energy sources, a possible challenge for many energy providers charged with meeting the revised standards. 15 states have filed suit asking for a stay in implementation of the new EPA rules. Joining me to talk about the impact of the EPA plan are Michael Main, President and CEO of Ameren Missouri. Ajay Arora is Vice President for Environmental Services and Generation Resource Planning for the Ameren Corporation. Gentlemen, thanks so much for being with us. Nice to have you.
Thanks for having us.
Michael, let me begin with you and just get your reaction to the Clean Power Plan revealed by the EPA last week.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate the opportunity to come here and talk about it. And it is a big deal. And just to give a little history to back up. And so we file every 3 years in the state of Missouri what's called an integrated resource plan. And it's really a 20-year look at our generation needs and how we're going to satisfy those generation needs over that period of time. In that plan that we had filed last year, we committed to reducing carbon emissions 30% by 2034 from 2005 levels.
That's pretty much in line with what the EPA is asking.
It is very close. So the Clean Power Plan, which you're referring to, just came out the first week of August and now is in final form. They're asking for a 32% reduction in carbon emissions by 2030, so a few years earlier. There are some interim compliance dates in there that clearly are going to make the plan a little more challenging from where we were before, and so we're still evaluating that. It's a large law. It's about 1,500 pages, and so really trying to still understand all the impact of it.
I get that. Many of those government documents are like that.
That's right.
Ajay, how are you going to meet that 34% that reduction?
So talking about our plan itself, we had a 20-year plan, but 2034, we were going to meet the EPA's target. The EPA has done some things well in the new rule. They have extended the start of the compliance timeline by a couple of years, but the targets are more stringent. And so we're taking a careful look at the new rule. We did have a carefully crafted and calibrated plan to diversify our fleet in a reliable and affordable manner, and now we'll have to read this new rule carefully. It's 1,500 pages, and figure out what's best for our customers and for the state of Missouri.
When you say diversify your fleet, what exactly do you mean? Change your source of generating energy?
Yeah, maybe I could just hit a couple of those points. Yeah. Don, I think some of the highlights in that integrated resource plan that we filed last year, we committed to retiring a third of our coal fleet over that 20-year time frame. We also committed to investing about $1 billion in wind over that next 10 to 15 years. We also made certainly a commitment to energy efficiency. Obviously, every megawatt that you don't produce is a good megawatt from a carbon perspective. We have been doing a lot of things from a different resource standpoint for a number of years. So we opened our solar facility in O'Fallon last year, the largest energy center here in the state of Missouri, a 5-megawatt facility. So that's up and running. We have made a commitment to expand that solar presence in another facility about 3 times that size here over the next couple of years. We also have our Maryland Heights, our landfill to gas facility, a really remarkable site. We're taking methane gas, something that nobody wants, decomposing trash and turning it into energy. That's about a 15-megawatt facility. So it's really the combination of all those things that was getting us to that 30% reduction at the end of that period of time.
You didn't mention natural gas.
Yeah, natural gas is clearly a component of it. I think we're very fortunate in this country to have natural gas as a resource. And certainly what's happened, I know there's lots of different sides about what's going on with shale gas, et cetera. But certainly the expansion of natural gas, the inventory that we have in this country, has been a very good thing from an energy security standpoint. It has really lowered the price of natural gas. So in that 20-year plan, we also do have what's called a combined cycle. It's a very efficient gas plant out there in the 2030 time frame.
It doesn't sound like Missouri would have any interest or need then to join those states that are suing for the stay and implementation of the EPA plan?
Yeah, you know, we're obviously watching carefully what all these various states are doing, and you know, there's a number of people out there requesting a stay, a number of folks saying they're going to file lawsuits. We're evaluating all these things. We want to do obviously what's in the best interest of customers and keeping reliability, affordability, it's certainly top of mind. I think the one thing to certainly remember about this plan too is these are state plans. This is a state target. Yes. So this isn't just for Ameren Missouri. So we have to comply from a state perspective. We are beginning to have conversations obviously with the other utilities, the other municipal utilities, co-ops as well, to figure out how we're all going to come together and comply with this. And so we haven't made any decision with respect to the stay or the legal positions folks are taking, really just, you know, 2 to 3 weeks into this 1,500-page rule, really trying to get our hands around it.
Yeah, I say that simply because what your targets are pretty much in line with what the EPA is proposing.
They are. I mean, absolutely. I think we're very proud of the position we took. We got in front of this last year. I mean, the proposed rule came out just a month or two before we filed that IRP. Ajay's team had been working on it for a number of years with lots of stakeholders. I think it is the right plan for the state of Missouri. I think it satisfies a lot of needs. Now, obviously, the final plan that's out there is going to require some tweaks to it. And so that's what we still really have to work through and make sure we understand what those mean.
Ajay, why has Ameren been so dependent on coal? My understanding is that it generates about 80% of the energy that is produced by Ameren, and the national average is about 30%.
So just to back up a little bit, historically, if you look at our rates, they're 25% below the national average. Coal has been a great resource for the country. It's allowed us to produce very affordable and reliable energy. And we have been pioneers in terms of reducing emissions from that coal generation. We've reduced our sulfur dioxide emissions 80% from 1990 levels, nitrogen oxide the same levels, 80% below 1990 levels. And this is while we were increasing generation. So it's been a reliable source. That's why we have been dependent on it. However, as we transition, we are looking to have a balance. We're looking to have a balance between coal, which will remain important, natural gas, nuclear, and a lot of renewables. Our carefully calibrated plan has us investing $1 billion in wind. We are retiring a third of our coal fleet over the next 20 years. So we are achieving a balanced mix at the end of the transition.
With regard to the rates, we had some folks in from the Sierra Club last week, and they were saying that the rate issue, the rates are low, but it's a little bit deceptive in the sense that we have a lot of old buildings here and people are using more. Therefore, they're spending more even though the rates are low. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I mean, clearly have some usage issues, which we've been focused on. And I think, you know, one of the things I mentioned, we did file the largest energy efficiency program in the state's history about 2 years ago, about $150 million program. We're in the third year of that, focused on reducing about 1 million megawatt hours, equivalent of about 60,000 homes. So this is a significant project and really getting at your point, which is trying to get people to lower their usage at the same time take advantage of our low rates too.
Yeah, the folks who were in last week also said that the energy efficiency programs that you have are probably the biggest single factor in moving away from coal.
It is certainly a factor, no question about it. I mean, one thing that we haven't talked a lot about is our nuclear facility, Callaway Energy Center.
Yes, nuclear.
a great carbon-free resource. Mm-hmm. It's honestly one of the best well-run nuclear plants in the country, in the world. We have been working hard for the last 3 years. Originally, it was licensed for 40 years, so it was going to retire in 2024. We've just been working and just got approved with the NRC and a 20-year extension. So that plant now will be around until 2044. And obviously, it is a big contributor to dealing with the Clean Power Plan, the other things that you mentioned a few minutes ago.
Can we all agree, I suppose I can put it that way, that we ultimately have to get away from coal because coal is a problem?
You know, I think certainly what we can agree on is that we need to diversify our portfolio. We have been focused on doing that. That's why we committed to retiring a third of this fleet over the next 20 years. And I think – and then focusing on all those other things that we're doing, the expansion of wind, the expansion of solar. recognizing that, you know, reliability is the utmost important to customers, affordability is the utmost important to customers, and making sure that those two, you know, those two tenets are certainly front and center when we're making these decisions at the end of the day. But you're right. I think we can agree that we are doing and taking a lot of steps to diversify that portfolio.
And, of course, that's going to have to happen sooner or later anyway because it's not an infinite resource.
That's right. I mean, there is an abundance of coal. I mean, there's probably still a couple hundred years of coal in this country. But the issue, Don, you were talking about earlier, you know, why are we so reliant on coal? I mean, this is an interesting business in the sense that we make very long-lived investments. So these are, you know, when you invest, you're looking for them to be around 40, 50 years. Now, we're certainly nearing the end of that. The average age of our coal fleet is about 45 years old today. Mm-hmm. And so as we transition away from that, we got to continue to embrace these new opportunities around wind and solar and gas.
Well, I guess the big question that most of our listeners would have is with all of what we're talking about today, with your plan and your project and what the EPA proposes to do, Ajay, what's that going to do to our rates?
So we are looking at making this transition as affordable as possible for our customers. We want to make sure it's affordable and it's reliable. Our plan had small increases in rates for our customers. The EPA's Clean Power Plan is more stringent. I expect it will be more costly for customers than our carefully calibrated plan.
So what are we looking at?
So I think, you know, what we've sort of been public about with respect to the cost, when the original proposal came out, we talked about this IRP plan that I talked about. That EPA plan was going to be, if implemented the way it was going to be about $4 billion more over that 20-year period than our IRP plan. What I would say today in evaluating, you know, where we are with this final rule is that they clearly made some progress. They changed a number of things in terms of the interim date. And so there are a number of scenarios where, you know, that certainly will be less than that $4 billion. But there are also some scenarios where it could be greatly more than that. And it really gets back down to the state issue I talked about. There's going to be some really important decisions that we make as a state in terms of how we comply with this rule. So it's a little premature to say exactly what the costs are going to be, but it's certainly going to be an incremental cost relative to where we are today.
I want to come back and pick up on that point, but we have
sure.
to take a break right
Absolutely.
Now. We'll do that now. We're talking with Michael Main, who is president and CEO of Ameren Missouri. Also with me in studio is Ajay Arora, vice president for environmental services and generation resource planning with Ameren Corporation. Back in a moment to continue this discussion. We'll do that in about 60 seconds. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Now back to Michael Main of Ameren, Missouri, and Ajay Arora, Vice President of Environmental Services and Generation Planning for the Ameren Corporation. Let me just come back to wind, Michael, if I may, because some of the things that we've seen and heard recently indicate that a much better job is being done on the other side of the state with regard to utilizing wind, and that therefore has really reduced bills considerably. Do you see it that way? What do you know about that?
Well, I think from a rate standpoint, affordability, I mean, we are 25% below the national average. The one thing I certainly can say, we are the cheapest investor-owned utility in the state of Missouri. And so I think we have been very good stewards of trying to make sure that we keep this product reliable and affordable. There clearly are some opportunities on the wind side in the northwest part of the state, and I think we are evaluating those carefully. As I talked about on the IRP that we filed, we've committed to $1 billion over the next 10 to 15 years to be invested in wind, trying to take advantage of some of those opportunities. We have 100 megawatts of wind in our system today that we've taken advantage of, and looking for other opportunities in the future as well.
Mm-hmm. So. Ajay, looking ahead, and I know you're using a diverse fleet, as you put it. I'm not quite sure I understand the word fleet in this context, but that's for me to try to figure out later. What do you think is going to be the area in which we're going to be more dependent in the future, wind, solar, or something else?
We are planning for a balanced portfolio, a balanced generation mix. So it'll be a balance between coal, nuclear, wind, and natural gas. Yeah. I expect over the next 20 years, since we're transitioning away from 80% coal, it'll still be a predominant energy source. But it'll closely be followed by nuclear, renewables and natural gas is what we would expect.
You know, I've had a tendency to kind of forget the nuclear part of this component, mm-hmm. but clearly it has to be a I mean, we've got a heck of a facility.
We sure do.
Here.
Absolutely.
Sure. I wonder why that is. I mean, is there a tendency, do you think, globally to back off of nuclear, or is it the other way around?
Yeah, it's probably the other way around. I mean, I think if you look globally on what's occurring today, I mean, there are a number of nuclear facilities. Ajay, you may have the number. I'm sure it's close to probably 100 facilities being built outside of this country. Now, there are a couple of facilities being built in the South right now. Southern Company and another utility, Scanner, are in the process of building two new reactors. Nuclear power, I mean, there's about approximately 100 reactors here in the U.S. They provide about 20% of the electricity here in this country. It is a very reliable, stable, always count on it source of power. And it's obviously carbon free. It has other challenges in terms of waste disposal and those things you have to work through. But you know, we are very fortunate to have this 1,200 megawatt facility. At any point in time, it's probably providing 20 to 25% of the power here in the state of Missouri.
When are you going to build another one?
Yeah, I think so we talked about the license extension. That was a big part of our commitment to Callaway getting in there for another 20 years. I think as we look in this plan today and just what's going on with the price of natural gas and some of these other technologies that we can put in smaller increments, it's hard to sit here and say commit to a large amount of nuclear. It's just, I mean, it's a very expensive technology. I mean, you're talking about if you were to do another plant, probably $7 or $8 billion today by itself.
And that's fairly serious money.
Yeah, it starts to add up after a while. But I mean, we are committed to, again, the long-term viability of Callaway itself, and there clearly are the expansion capabilities. I mean, the plant itself was originally built with 3 to 4 reactors in mind.
Let's take a couple of phone calls in the time that we have left. We'll bring in Jay. He's calling from Normandy. Jay, thanks for being with us. You're on the air.
Yeah, clearly coal is a problem. We have no coal mines in this state, so we'd need to get off of it. But my situation was I participated in putting some solar up, but you guys phased it out so quick. You know, I was able to get the $1.50 rebate, but you got rid of the $2 rebate, and then you got rid of the program totally. I still don't understand how that evaporated that funding, which was passed by the voters. Prop C was passed by the voters, and you guys phased it out and then got rid of it. Please explain that. Thank you.
Perfect. Thanks for the call. So just get everybody on the same page. So as part of the 2008 ballot initiative, the Proposition C required us to have a certain amount in there for solar rebates. What the gentleman was talking about, there was some legislation to step that down over time. We worked with all parties and came up with a settlement around what amount of that was going to be so that we could create some certainty so that people knew exactly what would be available in the beginning. So they weren't guessing over time it was available because it was also subject to a 1% cap, not raising rates by more than a 1% cap. So we did. We agreed, came to a settlement with all parties, which was eventually approved by the commission. We committed to $90 million of solar rebates. And I think to date, about $89 million or so, or close to that, have been paid out. And so lots of customers have taken advantage of that. I think there's about 5,000 homes or so in the state of Missouri that have taken advantage of solar, which is terrific to see.
What other incentives does Ameren have for customers?
Absolutely. So we have some terrific energy efficiency programs, which I mentioned before. Mm-hmm. We got this $150 million program. And there's incentives everywhere from lighting to HVAC tune-ups to home inspections. There's a lot of stuff on the business side as well. And all customers can just go to amermissouri.com and look at the energy efficiency pays or Act on Energy, either one, and find out all the different programs they can take advantage of. And to your point earlier, ways to try to reduce that usage to reduce customers' bills.
The air quality in this part of the country and the region in which we sit right now is pretty poor. And carbon emissions are largely responsible for that from what I hear. Does Ameren get involved in any way with the health aspect of this and the health consequences of these emissions, Ajay or Michael?
So like I mentioned before, we have really been focused on reducing emissions from our energy centers, the coal fleet. We've reduced it 80% for sulfur dioxide, 80% for nitrogen oxide. We have reduced carbon dioxide emissions more than 15%. From 2010 levels. And these standards, the standards that were set by the EPA are set for the most sensitive part of the population. And we operate well below those standards, well below those standards. So we are operating at a pretty really safe level for the most sensitive part of the population.
Did you want to? Okay.
I would just, to your comment about we've never been great on the air side. I mean, I think honestly, though, if you look at it today, and it may not feel this way, I think the air is probably cleaner than it has ever been, and at least for the very distant past. And for all the reasons that Ajay talked about, I mean, we made as a company a decision to switch to Powder River Basin coal about 30 years ago. I mean, it was a really pioneering decision at the time, a very low sulfur coal. Not many utilities had done it. We had never done it. We had, because most of our power plants burned Illinois coal. And that, I mean, served us well. I mean, it reduced all these emissions that Ajay is referring to. It also helped a great deal from a price standpoint. Mm. Now we're coming to the end of that, and now it's time to think about the next generation.
Recent surveys, though, and I mean very recent surveys, have indicated that we're in the bottom 10, I think, in air quality of 50 major metropolitan areas. Let's take another call. We'll bring in Zach calling from Washington, Missouri. Zach, go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. Is there anybody competing with you guys in this region? It seems like I've heard the free market approach tossed around there and stuff, but as far as I know, you're the only one that I can buy electricity from. Is there anybody competing with you guys in this region, or it seems like anybody who has a monopoly basically on a region, like that's it for people that live in that region. Is there anybody competing with you guys right now?
Great. Thanks for the question. So, within Illinois, so we own a couple of utilities. Ameren Illinois, it is a deregulated state. There's lots of competition there. You can go out and select a different provider, and we are the transmission distribution company in Illinois. In Missouri, we're called what's, an integrated, vertically integrated utility. So we are, as the caller correctly points out, a regulated monopoly. So customers don't have choice today. Now, they do have, these distributed technologies. Customers can go out if they wanted to and put solar on their house. I mean, that is a form of choice. Certainly doing things from an energy efficiency standpoint to continue to lower that usage is a way to continue to reduce that reliance on us as well. So, I mean, there are forms of competition out there today, but we are a regulated monopoly, as the caller pointed out.
And if I may add, our rates are still among the lowest in the nation, even when compared to deregulated states.
Okay, let's take one more call. We'll bring in Andy calling from Shrewsbury. Go ahead, Andy. You're on the air.
Thank you. Yeah. So Ameren has 100 megawatts of wind, which you mentioned earlier, but Kansas City Power and Light, which is a much smaller utility, has about nine times that much, or they will have very soon. And even Independence Power and Light, which is a very small city utility, has 100 and they will have next year 170 megawatts of wind. So you all talk about diversifying your portfolio, but it doesn't seem like it's happening that fast.
Good. Thank you for the question. And again, I think you're correctly pointing out where some of the wind opportunities are here in the northwest part of the state, and clearly Kansas City and Power Light's taking advantage of that, and we are absolutely looking to that. And so, as we said, in this 20-year plan that we've had, we committed to spending $1 billion on wind. I think that's probably the biggest investment opportunity we have in terms of making a real meaningful impact on the generation side and reducing that reliance on coal. And so that, as you think about where the bulk of our investment will go over the next 5 and 10 years, it certainly will go to wind, given where the economics are today.
We've been talking pretty much about what's been going on this side of the river, and you're Ameren, Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
But what can we talk for a moment about Illinois? Is Illinois subject to the same resource plan, the integrated resource plan that you've been talking about?
They're not. I mean, Illinois is a completely different state regulation in terms of it's a deregulated state, and so the generation is separated from the distribution and the transmission business. And so they don't file the integrated resource plan. Now, they will, as a state, have to comply with the Clean Power Plan.
Sure.
And so they will have their same issues they'll have to work through, but it is from a different perspective.
Well, I gather, and perhaps I should know more about this, that there's more competition over there.
Absolutely. Is that correct? Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. So it is. It's a deregulated state. You have a choice as a customer to choose a different provider, and there are a number of providers that are offering generation services, and then they use our distribution lines, our poles and wires, to distribute that generation.
You know, I think most people would say competition is better. Monopoly is a problem for a lot of people.
You know, I think that we have a good track record to show that. I mean, I think we as a company are doing a lot of things really, really well. I mean, you look at our reliability. It is top 25, top 10% in the country. Our rates are 25% below the Midwest average. We are the cheapest utility in the state of Missouri. So I think we have a lot of things to be proud of from a corporate perspective.
We're going to have to leave it at that. I want to thank you so much, Michael Main, for being with us. And Ajay Arora, thank you so much
for telling
us about what Ameren is doing. And obviously, it's doing a lot. Really appreciate that. Coming up, we'll talk about our aging infrastructure. How bad is it or how good? This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.